Entertainment 2.0. Do you know that I still oftentimes mistype entertainment?
Josh, I still oftentimes misspell Richard.
Welcome to episode 347 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Yeah, it feels like we got news from all over the universe tonight.
Well, that's good, because for the last couple of weeks, there have been gaps.
There have been some pretty big gaps, and there are no gaps tonight. No gaps anywhere. We've even got some listener feedback, so why don't we jump right into that with an email from Ken. He sent it to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. He says, I'm a longtime listener. I've been with you guys from the very beginning. That's a long time. That's longer than me. However, I have to admit I've missed a show every now and then. Okay, so I guess we're probably about even then. He says, so I apologize if you already answered this in a previous show. I'm upgrading my PCs to Windows 10, but there's one PC that is hooked up to my big screen TV that still has Media Center. I'm not using it to watch live TV or recordings anymore, but there are two other features that I like, and I'm looking for good replacements. Number one, I like the slideshow program in Media Center, especially the zooming feature, which makes a slideshow so much more interesting. And number two, the music player. I like the way it displays the album art. It makes it easier for me to find what I'm looking for. Do you have any suggestions on replacements? Thanks, and keep up the good work, Ken.
So I agree with him on both things there. I love both of those features a lot.
Yeah. Media Center has always done a really good job with music. And that screensaver that they introduced with Windows 7, it's always something that people who have never seen it at my house notice and immediately ask, what is that? Because that is so cool. And it is. So my suggestions to Ken were, how about there's an app called My Memories, which is made by Mark Terberg, the guy, you know, friend of the show, guy who made the Recorded TV HD plugin. And it's not exactly like the Windows Media Center screensaver, but it's a Windows modern app, you know, it's a Windows Store app, which seemed like it might make sense since he's upgrading to Windows 10. So I recommended that for the screensaver replacement. And for music, I thought, well, maybe Plex. Plex supports music, and Plex has a brand new app, which we actually don't have in the notes, but we'll just talk about it now. Plex has a brand new Windows desktop app, their Plex Home Theater app, I believe is what they call it. And it does music, and I'm not super picky about what I need my music experience to look like, but
blasphemy.
I think this might fit the bill for him. If you're at all familiar with what the Plex Windows Store app or Plex Xbox One apps look like, then you'll feel right at home in the new Plex Home Theater app because it looks just like those. It will require you to be a Plex Pass subscriber to use it right now, as that's how they typically handle new releases of things over at Plex. So that'll be $5 a month or a little bit less if you want to pay annually. So those are some options. And then he actually emailed back and said he found something even better to fit his needs for a screensaver. It's a Windows screensaver called Photo Scroll.
Hey, you know what this looks a whole lot like?
The Windows Media Center screensaver.
Yeah, almost exactly like it.
Yeah, it was designed, in fact, the description is, Photo Scroll is a desktop screensaver based on the scrolling photo screensaver in Windows Media Center. It looks awesome. I kind of want to install this on my work computer. It's pretty awesome. What I don't get is you can download it, but then there's also an option to register it for $6.95. So I don't know if you need to pay for it to work or if that's more like a thanks for making something awesome, here's $7. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but from reading it, it looks like that might be a voluntary registration.
Yeah.
It could also be something where it guarantees you updates or something like that.
That could be, although it's a screensaver. How many updates could there be? So, although it says Windows XP through Windows 8 for supported OSs, but it might work in Windows 10. I don't know. I haven't messed with screensavers since, I don't know, Windows XP.
Flying toasters?
Flying toasters as my screensaver over top of hot dog stand for when I'm, you know, using my favorite Windows 3.1. No. So that is the listener feedback this week. Thank you, Ken. If you'd like to send us some feedback for next week, again, the email address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And at the end of the show, we'll rattle off a whole bunch of other ways that you can get a hold of us.
Yeah, but you know what we didn't get? We didn't get any voice messages. How could people send us those?
Same way. You could record yourself on any computing device that has a microphone and then attach it to an email message and send it to us.
Cool.
Or you could upload it to OneDrive and email us the link to it.
You could send, I don't know, more smoke signals. No, wait. I'm sorry. I was channeling Taylor.
How about Periscope? Does Periscope support that? I've never used Periscope. I don't know. Probably not. All right. Well, why don't we get on to the news instead of making up ways for people to send us recorded messages? Okay. So first one, we should have mentioned this last week, but I didn't notice it until after the show. There was a post over at the Green Button Forums from a Microsoft employee about the Windows Media Center guide data situation. Now, of course, there was the big cutover in July to change the guide data source in Media Center to the Rovi provider. And when they did that, they also made some other changes that just totally broke guide data for some people. For some people, they needed to do some troubleshooting, reset up TV tuners and things like that. And then there's also just been guide data quality issues since then. Well, we learned a little bit about the team supporting the Windows Media Center guide data situation. At one point, this massive team had three people. Three. Then they lost somebody recently. So they're down to two. And this probably won't be a surprise to anybody. Windows Media Center isn't exactly their primary job duty.
Well, if they're the guide people, let's assume that the team is about the guide. Right. So the primary consumer of the guide these days is the Xbox.
Okay. I could see that.
So I'm thinking this team is handling both of these situations right now. It's now a team of two, which is sad. I hope this didn't have anything to do with the mess that happened after the cutover. And one of the guys didn't just go, I'm out.
Hopefully not. So. That's sad. But the good news is that they have made some progress on all of these issues. The biggest ones being the people who haven't been able to get any guide data at all. They think they have those issues fixed. If that's you and you'd given up, but you're missing Media Center, go back and try again. We'll have a link to this thread, of course, in the show notes so that you can read it right from the horse's mouth. This horse's name is John. And he also provides more links to steps for troubleshooting and how you might fix this. Basically, if it wasn't working for you before, try going through TV setup again. That's the place to start, and it might work now. If it doesn't, check these threads. Hopefully it will. The other thing they wanted to point out is they are still looking into guide data quality issues. These are areas where, say, here's a really annoying one. There's a whole lot of college football games on Saturday afternoons. You know what the titles of a bunch of those games are in the guide?
College football.
College football. Teams TBA. Thanks, guys. There's 15 games on at a time. I don't want to channel surf to find the game that I want to watch. That sort of crap is what we mean by guide data quality issues. Keep reporting those issues. They want to know the problems so that they can get them fixed.
Also, every episode of Modern Family marked as new, regardless of the outlet.
That's got to be pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't have time for me to go on a rant about how annoyed I am that the channel for this was the greenbutton.tv as opposed to anything from Microsoft. So I won't. I will, however, transition to something that I thought was kind of interesting and relevant, considering that nowadays you don't think of people maybe building a brand new media center PC. But recently on the Home Server Show, our friends Jim and Dave had something of a cook-off talking about their respective media center PCs that they each created. And they did this very recently. They each built new media center PCs using Windows Media Center. Both of them, I think, went with Windows 7, if I'm remembering correctly. But it's an interesting take on if you're going to build a PC today and use it as a home theater PC, then what do you use on it? So they go into how they set it up, what they used on it, what the hardware was. And I thought it was kind of a good look at this past a point where most of us think of this as, oh, well, we already did that years ago, but maybe you didn't.
Or maybe you did it years ago and you kind of need a new one.
Yeah, that too.
That's kind of the situation that I've been in. I've been limping this sucker along since 2009.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was on, I will say, the last episode of Home Server Show, but by the time we're published, they will probably have a new episode. Regardless, check that out if you're interested, homeservershow.com, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Yep, and that's episode 291.
I ended up adding something to one of my PCs, which was the new version of PlayOn. We've talked about PlayOn a lot, and Josh, I don't know if you remember, but when we were at CES, we saw them at Pepcom, and they were showing off a brand new version of the PlayOn app that they were planning on releasing in January.
It's still January, right?
Maybe. Well, no, it's not, but it's out now. It was CES time. You know, you have to take that into consideration.
Absolutely. We always like double dates that we hear from CES, at least.
So the new app is still a Windows-only app, but it's been redesigned to be a much better overall experience. It has a great UI. It is much easier to use. It's much better organized. I'm having problems with it, though, and that's a little bit frustrating to me because it used to just work. And since installing the new app, and I only did this like yesterday, so in all fairness, I haven't had a whole lot of time to play with it. I had maybe two nights. But the new app includes a bunch of new features, and amongst those are commercial skipping, which is kind of cool. I like that. You have to pay for that. You have to have the PlayOn Plus account, which I was able to get because the way that they're doing this is based on the subscription services that you had before. They convert those to the new services they offer, and what I had subscribed to, which was pretty much everything, converted to the PlayOn Plus service. So I like the service, and I did a recording on Hulu. It worked great. I did a recording on Netflix multiple times, and it fails. I end up with a recording that has nothing but the audio, but it's a video file. So I don't know what's going on there. I've reached out to them to see if I can get some more information, but it's nice to see some innovation in this space. Man, I would love a 10-foot interface on this thing, but I know that raises the attention of lawyers from networks all over the country. So it's likely that we're not going to see that in the near future, but nice to see this updated anyway.
So I only have one complaint with this.
All right, what's that?
Well, it looks like they've also redesigned their website and it looks nice. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they talk about how there's a bunch of features that are free and we know that there's stuff that isn't. Their website does a pretty terrible job of showing what's free and what isn't.
Yeah, but it's so pretty.
It is very pretty. But that's not going to trick me, Richard.
Yeah,
don't be tricked by a pretty webpage.
It might have that. I haven't actually gone digging around. Before, in their defense, they had a page where they identified what's the difference between the features that you get in the different services that they offered. So I have to assume that it's in there. but it isn't always the easiest thing to find.
Well, you can assume that, but I have poked around and I haven't found it.
Okay. All right.
Either way, definitely something worth checking out if you're looking for a utility that makes watching internet streams a whole lot easier. Being able to get video sources from all over the place, all inside of one app. And then, like you said, there are extra features that allow you to record things, which is amazing. And then the commercial skipping and all that stuff. So very, very cool app.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Well, we talked a little bit about home theater PCs, and a new PC was launched this week that I think could make an interesting home theater PC. It's probably not going to replace, a machine that you built a long time ago that needs to be replaced, that was built to be a big workhorse home theater PC, but it could work as more of a client style home theater PC. And that is the new Kangaroo mobile desktop. This thing is kind of awesome. Basically, picture a computer that looks like a portable hard drive, because it's about that size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has a little dock that you just plug it into. And that dock has a couple of USB ports and an HDMI port. And that's how you use this computer. The computer has Wi-Fi built into it. It's got Bluetooth built in so that you could use that for your keyboard and mouse. And then, of course, your audio and video are going out through HDMI. And if you need extra peripherals or extra storage, that's what your USB ports are for. In terms of specs, this thing has an Atom X5 processor, 2 gigs of RAM, only 32 gigs of storage. And to make that worse, it's eMMC. It's not even like an SSD or something fast. The USB ports, I said there were two of them. One of them is USB 2. One of them is USB 3. But here's the thing. This whole PC costs $99.
That's crazy.
That's it. And that little dock that you plug it into, you can buy more of those for like $40 each. So for $99, you get the PC and one of the docks. And I'm going to bet that this is good enough to run Plex as like the client. You wouldn't want to run a Plex server on this. And it comes with Windows 10. So Windows Media Center is kind of out, unless you wanted to try to install Windows 7 on this thing. But this could work really well for Plex users or Kodi users or MB users. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, and it's dirt cheap.
Do you think that this is powerful enough to display like HD video from Netflix and stuff like that?
I would certainly think so. I think that, you know, I'm not a super processor spec guy, but there's lots of tablets running Atom processors that handle those types of apps just fine. So I would certainly think that things like Netflix and Hulu and all those types of websites and or apps would work just fine.
What kind of video is it pumping out?
It just says Intel graphics. Like, it's not Intel, the graphics that you would get in like a Core i3 and a Core i5 type processor.
Right.
But it's, I don't know. Let me get there. Let me see exactly what it says. This might mean something. Their description just says Intel processor graphics Gen 8. I don't know what that means, but I'm pretty sure it's good enough for basic video stuff. Like, is this thing going to push 4K? Probably not. But I think that as long as you're not asking it to do a whole bunch of transcoding, this thing will probably work pretty well. So if you're doing something like Plex, where any transcoding that needs to be done can happen on the server instead of this thing, I think you'll be in a pretty good position.
You know what I love and I think is just absolutely crazy?
Hmm.
Is that you can use your iPad as a monitor for this thing.
Yeah, there's that, although that's not very home theater PC.
Well, no, but if you just wanted to use this as a portable PC, let's say you have an iPad and you want a PC for general PC stuff, you basically have your iPad with iOS and you have the ability to run Windows on a tablet all in the same device just by connecting this thing. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. There you go. I like it. It's $99. It's available now. Definitely worth checking out if you're looking for something.
I might have to buy one of these.
All right. So let's move on to some audio news. I found an interesting app this week for Windows 10. And I found it a little bit too late. So this week I had a coworker asking me, hey, what do you use to listen to podcasts on your PC? And I said, nothing. I use my phone for that. But some people do want to do that. And here's a really good app for doing that. And it's called Groove Podcast, which might make you think it's made by Microsoft.
Like, yep, nope.
Hey, it's the new Microsoft made podcast app, right?
Nope.
Nope, it's not.
You know what though? Groove is a word. It is a word in the dictionary that I think they could probably argue is, I don't know, just a word.
Yeah, probably. Besides, Microsoft always gives up when it comes to fighting for names. So
yeah, I think it's kind of like rolls over and plays dead, and, right? And runs away and goes to the never mind.
So anyway, Groove Podcast. This app, despite the fact that I've never ever heard anyone talk about it, it's pretty nice. It looks very much like the Groove Music app does on Windows 10. Same sort of design and layout, you know, with the left hamburger menu where you've got playlist and settings and all that stuff on the left and all of your main content stuff on the right. And it works, but like you got to have a bunch of features for a podcast app to be good. Like there's got to be a good podcast directory accessible from within the app. Well, how about iTunes? The best podcast directory there is. This thing
searches
iTunes. Whoa,
did you just say that?
Well, it's true. I mean, it's at least the most widely, I don't know, used or populated or...
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It is by far the most heavily trafficked podcast library.
So this thing searches iTunes. It's not like that crazy podcast app that Microsoft put out on Windows Phone that just searches Bing and you hope to find something. This one will actually find the podcast you're looking for. You can set this up to download a podcast or just stream them either way, which is nice. Some don't allow you to download. You can create a now playing list. So basically a play queue of what you want to listen to. You can't like set up automated playlists or anything like that, which would be kind of nice. It's not there though. It'll also remember position. So maybe you get halfway through a podcast and, oh, look, my favorite podcast just came out. I'm going to go listen to that and then come back to this one. Well, it's going to remember your place, which is really nice. It has playback speed adjustment. So if you like to listen at 1.5x or 2x to get through your podcast quicker, it supports that. And then it also supports video, but it does it really, really weird. So if you're familiar with Groove, you know that there's a bottom bar across the app that has your playback controls and some information about what you're listening to and stuff. In that bar, right behind the scrub bar, in that tiny, vertically tiny bar is where it displays the video. So you could have this app, you know, maximized on your 27-inch monitor and you might get, I don't know, 75 pixel height for the video. What? It's crazy. I don't know why they do it like this.
There's no way to enlarge it?
There is one way to enlarge it. Hit the full screen button.
Oh, okay. All right.
But that, it's full screen. It's not like it fills up the app. It's full screen. So it's, you're only watching that podcast video or you're barely watching the podcast video.
So you can't, for example, snap this app to be half the size of your screen?
Well, even if you could...
It would still take over your whole screen?
So I can, but I think to do... I'm just going to do one here. Nope. If you click the full screen button, it's still going full screen, even if the app is snapped.
There you go, folks. Live on the air.
Live on the air.
We have learned.
Fortunately, only the people in the live chat had to hear that. It wasn't recorded. So, yeah. So, is this app the panacea of podcasting apps? Probably not. but it might be the best available podcast app for Windows 10.
Hmm. So here's what I don't like about it. It's only desktop. And while I listen to a lot of the podcasts that are a part of my library from my desktop, I also listen a lot when I'm out in the car and on the run. And if this were a universal app, it would be so much more useful.
Yeah, I have to imagine that they're working on that, because I think most people listen to podcasts on their mobile devices, not on PCs. So hopefully he's doing that, but I don't know for sure. I would really, really like to see that happen, because in the small amount of time I spent playing with this, it was really, really nice.
Cool. Well, it's good to see that there are some good options, because we've really only been able to use things like Pocket Casts, which I know you've been kind of lukewarm on, or the Podcasts app, which is probably now defunct, or will be by the 15th of November, since it relies on the libraries from Zune.
Right. Well, and you'll get to hear me rant about Pocket Cast later in the show.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah. All right. One more quick audio story. Google last month announced new Chromecast devices. They're cool unless you're a Microsoft guy, because you're not doing much Chromecasting from a Windows phone or anything like that. And you're not Chromecasting from Groove music apps or Groove movies and whatever the crap the movies and TV app is called now in Windows 10. Movies and TV. Unless you're in the UK, and then it's like Telly and Flix or something. I don't know. That's different in the UK.
Is it really?
It is different in the UK.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to have to reach out to Nate and find out what that's all about.
Yeah, they've talked about it over at the Digital Lifestyle, and I don't remember what it's called. But yeah, it does have a different name in the UK. Anyway, Paul Thurrott was playing around. He got some Chromecast to test out and thought, well, wait a second. There is a web player for Groove Music, and it probably works in Chrome, and Chrome allows you to cast things out to these devices. And it sounds like he had a little bit of trouble, but he got it working. So I think he had to like go into incognito mode and stuff like that just to get Groove Music to work at all for him. I opened up Chrome, went to Groove Music, and it worked fine without doing anything weird for me. So maybe it's just some other extension he had installed. But yeah, if you just go to music.microsoft.com from your Windows PC, log in to your Groove account, and there's all your music. You can play it. And if you've got a Chromecast and the correct extension installed in Chrome, you can stream to a Chromecast Groove Music.
That's cool.
Kind of nice. It's not really what I want, but...
No, but it's good. It's good. I mean, I think that Chromecast is an interesting device. I still don't understand why they came out with a separate one for audio rather than just using the same device. But it's nice that this is an option for people, because, you know, you kind of went on a justifiable rant about how this was kind of useless for folks who are into the Microsoft ecosystem. So I'm glad to see this.
Yeah. I would rather Microsoft just take the lead and build Chromecast support into their apps. That'd be really nice, because they could technically do it. And what I'd really like to see is Spotify build it into their Windows Phone app, and then Spotify to build an Xbox One app. But none of that is happening. Anyway, let's move on to some gaming news. Gaming news makes me happy.
Gaming news? Well, but this first thing isn't really gaming news. This is sad user experience news.
Says the man with no firsthand experience, right?
The Xbox user experience? I certainly do.
But not with the new experience.
Well, no, but I don't like anything I've seen yet.
So the new Xbox One experience, which has been in preview for about a month now, I think. That sound right? I don't quite remember when it first came out.
Something like that.
Now has a release date. It is coming to everybody. Prepare yourselves, especially people like Richard who are really afraid. November 12th is the day.
2 weeks.
Yeah, not far away at all. I was talking with some friends today. They're kind of nervous about this, because a lot of people are still experiencing a lot of issues with the Xbox preview right now. I'm not having that many issues, but like I have one friend who uses the over-the-air tuner a lot, and he said quite frequently while watching TV, the TV portion of that will just crash.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was trying to use Kinect to change channels and it wouldn't. He had to close the app and reopen it to get the Kinect to change the channels for him. He's had his whole Xbox just crash a couple of times on him. He had his Kinect entirely stop working, had to do the, you know, hold the button reset, you know, that takes a couple of minutes for it to boot through that whole boot cycle. He's had a ton of problems. I fortunately haven't really had many, but there are lots of people who are. And, you know, saying everyone who's got an Xbox One is going to get this in 2 weeks, all those user experience issues aside, has me a little concerned.
Now, is this still your input one?
Yes, it is.
So your cable service is going through this.
Well, yes. And by cable service, you mean my media center PC.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Interesting.
Yeah, we've only had a couple of small hiccups. I have that USB TV tuner, and I had set it all up, but I disconnected it and put the TV tuner in a closet. But I never unset up the TV tuner itself. And so a couple of times I've walked into the living room and it's switched to trying to watch that. And so it has a black message on the screen that says, TV tuner not found or something like that. And this actually happened to Jen a few days ago, and she was texting me at work because she says the media center is frozen and nothing that I'm doing with the media center remote or the media center PC is fixing it. And her assumption that it was a media center problem makes total sense because it said TV tuner. And as far as she knows, we watch TV through media center, and she's right. I've never had her use that over-the-air tuner. So she wasn't quite sure what to do. And I hadn't seen that message myself yet. So just over the phone, I wasn't really quite sure what to tell her to fix the problem.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
There was a recent episode of the Internet of Things podcast where Stacey Higginbotham had her husband on the show. And her husband was talking about all the things in the house that don't work anymore because she's uninstalled things.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
So why do you not still have it installed? I mean, doesn't the over-the-air tuner actually give you a better picture for the networks?
Probably, but I very rarely watch live TV. And when I do, it's almost never network TV.
Oh, okay. Because I'm thinking for like weekend sports and stuff like that, that typically that's the appeal for the live tuner, is to watch sports on a much better picture. Live TV is great for that through an antenna.
Yeah, that would make sense. Maybe I should pull it out again for some college football over the weekend. That's a good idea. I like that.
All right. Well, okay. There is other stuff coming with this besides the crashy. Well, no, we don't know that it's going to be. But so this is also going to come with the backwards compatibility with all of the old games. Well, not all of them.
No,
right?
Not all of them. But they're saying 100 games supported at launch. And that's also way more games than we still have available in preview.
Yeah, let's hope it still works with the Xbox One games.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if they launched it and it suddenly like didn't work with Halo 5? OMG.
No, there's no way. There's no way that is going to happen.
No way. There's no way. You're right. But that would be crazy. So, yeah, that's coming, and that's cool. You know, a lot of people are excited to have the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility features coming. It's not something I care that much about, but I know a lot of people really, really are excited about it. And, you know, the other thing that it kind of reignites is that whole question. This backwards compatibility thing, it's being done by running an Xbox 360 virtual machine on the Xbox One. Which tells you that
theoretically,
it could really run anything that ran on the Xbox 360, like
including
the Windows Media Center Extender app.
Yeah, they're so not going to do that.
That's not going to happen. It'd be interesting to see it happen. It's not going to happen. And you know what? Even if it did, I wouldn't use it because it would probably be a pain to launch and slow to launch. And I don't know. It probably wouldn't be a very great experience.
I don't know. I mean, if they're able to play games and get the games working in a reasonable and expected performance level, then why wouldn't they be able to do it with just pass-through video?
Well, what if for some reason it takes, you know, maybe, you know, what if you pin a tile for the Media Center Extender app, and then from the moment you select it...
Which, by the way, you've never been able to do.
I thought you could. But it was only like you couldn't do it on the home screen, but you could in the video app section or something like that, right?
It would appear in your video section, but you couldn't add it to your pinned tiles.
Okay. So let's say that you could do that. And from the moment you select it to the moment when you're actually at the Media Center start screen, what if that was like a minute and a half? What if that was more than that? What if it was 2, 3, 4 minutes? For it to boot up the VM. And then remember, it's not like when you selected it on the 360, it was bang immediately in Media Center. It had to do its connection stuff and boot up process too.
That's true. And that's like about 20 seconds or so.
Yeah. If everything's working perfectly. So I don't like once it's working, if it were to work, I'm sure it would work just fine. Cause like you said, it's got more than enough hardware to do it. But like we said at the beginning of all of this, it ain't going to happen.
So a year ago, we were touting a different hope, a different story. But I think the reality now is that all of the evidence suggests that this is not going to happen. So I've given up hope on this. And frankly, I don't care if they have, if there is still a chance that we're going to get some DVR functionality out of the Xbox next year, then that helps make up for this. And that gets us a little bit closer to what I want to see on the Xbox.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wait and see. And I cannot wait to hear your thoughts once you actually have the new Xbox experience.
Yeah, I'm going to try and keep an open mind. But, you know, I mean, I've been complaining for months now and I haven't even seen it for live.
Well, one thing that might put you in a better mood is cheap games. Maybe.
Love them. Got to get them all, even if I never play them.
Right. So this week's Deals with Gold and Spotlight sale, there's a holiday at the end of the week. It's Halloween. So most of these games are Halloween themed. A bunch of horror games like Slender, The Arrival, and you know, just lots of... Oh, man, my link is broken. Lots of... Just horror games for the Xbox One are on sale. There's one that isn't a horror game. It's Titanfall. Titanfall Deluxe. So that's Titanfall with everything. If you don't have it, which is kind of amazing, that if you're a shooter fan and you don't have it yet, I don't know why. But here you go. It's $5 this week. You can't beat that. And Titanfall is still a really fun game. But for it to go on sale, the week that Halo 5 is launching, a week before Call of Duty is launching, and a few weeks before Star Wars Battlefront, kind of bad timing. I don't see a lot of people playing Titanfall over the next month.
No, but I think they'll probably buy it for $5. I mean, that's crazy. I might buy it for $5.
Don't waste your money on this, Richard. You'll never play Titanfall. All right, so that's pretty much it for our gaming news. Let's jump to mobile news. Last week, just before we recorded, Microsoft had released a new version of Windows 10 Mobile. We talked a little bit about the features, and I had said that I was putting it on my phone, but didn't really have a lot of time to actually play with it because, you know, kind of had a podcast to record. So now I've spent a week with it, and it is better than the last time I put a Windows 10 Mobile build on my Lumia 1520, but it's still not perfect. So remember a few minutes ago when I was saying that I was going to rant about Pocket Cast? So yesterday, went for a run. Running is boring. Running is even more boring, excruciatingly boring, when you don't have anything to listen to. And multiple times during my fairly short run, the Pocket Cast app crashed. It never did this for me in Windows Phone 8.1, but for some reason that morning, if I was running and the screen on my phone turned off, then Pocket Cast would just stop playing. It would die. And I would have to turn the screen on my phone back on, which frankly, I don't want the screen on my phone on when I'm running, especially not at 5:45 in the morning. It's dark out and people probably think I'm a weirdo running around looking at my phone.
And what are you talking about? Everybody does that. But this is that same crashing problem that you were talking about before, right?
Well, Pocket Cast does definitely crash more in Windows 10. But this was crashing just from the screen turning off. And I don't remember if that was happening before. So really big pain in the butt to try and fix that while running. So I'm going to be running again tomorrow, and I guess I'm just going to reboot my phone before I go for my run. I don't know. This is stupid, but I got back for my run thinking, that's it. I'm going back to Windows Phone 8.1, but I haven't yet. So we'll see how tomorrow goes. There's, of course, tweets from Gabe All that there's another release coming within the next 2 days. So maybe that'll fix some of these issues, but I don't know. This could just be an issue with Pocket Cast. And since the developer hasn't done any updates to this app since basically the initial release of it, I don't expect them to release an update for this app to fix this problem anytime soon.
That's really annoying. We need them to get this thing updated.
We do.
I'm hoping that with Windows 10, they're working on an update to this.
Keith in the chat says he has the same issue with Pocket Cast on his phone, and he has to reboot his phone 2 to 3 times a day with Windows 10. And then he's going back. Oh, he says going back to 8.1 sucks. So, yeah, I don't have to reboot it 2 or 3 times a day, but it is bad, very bad for this. But everything else has been more stable for the most part. Like the messaging app has been more stable. The camera stuff has been more stable. It's still not perfect, but it is better.
So do we have a date on this? Is this still an unknown?
I don't think we do have a date on this yet. I guess it's whenever the 950 and 950 XL launch, maybe, because they'll have Windows 10 on them. But I don't know for sure if that means that all the other phones will get it at the same time.
Those were reported to be launching this year?
Yeah, I think it's late November.
Wow.
Yeah, because I do remember seeing a tweet today that was talking about the 950 and 950 XL shipping in the UK like December 3rd. So I might be off by a couple days there. But yeah, it's supposed to be next month. And I don't think this is ready. I don't think Windows 10 for the Xbox One is ready. I'm really nervous about Windows 10 in general in November. This seems very, very risky. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand what their hurry is on getting this onto the mobile platform, because it's their phones. It's not like there's some partner vendor that's saying, hey, you're holding us up. We're not able to release our phones yet.
Right. Yeah. Ship it when it's done. Yeah. No reason to rush this stuff. Same with the Xbox One. They don't have to rush into bringing the new Xbox experience out. Wait until it's working correct. You don't want to go into the holiday season with a jacked up operating system on your video game console.
I agree. Although I'm sure they have an important goal of getting this out before Black Friday, so that when the Black Friday sales come around and people are looking at buying things for Christmas, that their console is looked at as more recently refreshed than, say, the PS4.
Sure, I guess. It just better work, or else there's going to be a whole lot of upset people.
I agree. Well, meanwhile, in other Microsoft news, a lot of stuff came out this week.
Yeah, it did. None of it's really new. I mean, we knew it was all coming, but a lot of things to spend your money on if you're a Microsoft fan.
Yeah, and I think Dave over at Home Server Show bought one of each.
Wow.
Maybe not quite.
That would have put a hurt on his wallet.
He has an unboxing video already on YouTube for the Surface Book, so cool. I know he bought one of those. The Surface Pro 4 also came out on Monday. The Xbox One Elite controller that we were talking about for a couple of weeks, that's out now. the Xbox wireless controller adapter. The Microsoft Band is also coming out this week. The dock for the Surface Book and Surface Pros, those came out. Oh yeah, Dave bought one of those too. So there's a lot of stuff if you're into new Microsoft hardware.
Yeah, tons. You could spend thousands of dollars on Microsoft hardware this week.
Crazy thousands of dollars.
So, yeah. You buying any of this?
No. Now, I was at a mall in the area that has a Microsoft store, and so I had to go in. That was Sunday. And I forgot when the release of the Surface Book was. I couldn't remember if it was Friday or Monday. And I went in, and they have all the signage up, but no hardware yet. So I was really disappointed that I couldn't actually see it, because I really wanted to see it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of equipment, but there's just no way. Let's see. Am I going to buy a Surface Book or a Kangaroo? I think I'm going with the $99 Kangaroo.
How about 25 Kangaroos?
No,
you could do
I don't
that.
Need 25 Kangaroos.
All right. Well, for me, I'm definitely not buying a Surface Book, definitely not buying a Surface Pro 4, definitely not buying an Xbox One Elite controller. The Xbox wireless controller adapter, that'd be kind of nice. And a Microsoft Band, the new one, would be cool, but I won't be buying that anytime soon, that's for sure. But
that is more expensive, right? Isn't that $250 now instead of $200?
Yeah, it is.
That's hard to swallow.
It is. And it doesn't really give me stuff that I care that much about. I don't take a lot of stairs, you know?
But it tells you how high you are.
I don't care. I live in Ohio. It's flat. We're never up high. There's nothing high from here to Colorado.
Oh, there was a pun there somewhere.
So let's just move on from that. Because there's more crazy Microsoft news. Well, maybe not all crazy. Well, one of these is, but not this next story. Microsoft Store. Actually, this is crazy. Microsoft Store finally open in New York City. How did it take this long for there to be a Microsoft Store in New York City? But hey, at least there finally is one.
Agreed. That is crazy. Now, the interesting news is it's right around the corner from the Apple flagship store. And I think we mentioned that before. So that's good news, because that means that next time I'm in town, I can visit both.
Just make sure you buy something from the Microsoft store and then take that bag to the Apple store.
Okay, I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you should do that.
I could do that.
All right. So that's basically it. Neither of us have been to it. We're just glad that it's there. This next story is kind of bonkers. Joe Belfiore, one of our favorite dudes over at Microsoft, he's gone. He's out temporarily. Not forever.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear about this. So he's just, you know, he's taking a year off. What?
I wish I could do that.
I want to do that. I totally want to do that. He's taking a year off. And I am disappointed, because I love his energy. I love the personality that he brings to the face of Windows and
you
Microsoft.
Love his hair.
I don't really love his hair. I think his hair is ridiculous. But I mean, if you think about anyone in the organization that you know, who's someone that we're aware of and who's been involved in a bunch of stuff that we cover, if there's anyone that deserves to just say, you know what, I'm out of here for a year, I'll be back, and we'll touch base in 12 months. It's him. I love this. I think it's awesome. And what he's doing is even more awesome. He's taking 12 months off so his kids can experience going to college on a ship.
Yeah, this is cool. He's taking a year off to basically spend time with his family in cool and adventurous new ways for the whole family. And I certainly can't fault the guy for that. I'll miss him, and I think that the Windows organization will be lacking a pretty crucial part of the team, but good for him. I think this is really great.
Yeah, I agree. You know what this means, though?
More Terry Myerson?
Yeah, more presentations from Terry Myerson and Julie Larson Green.
Now, didn't Julie Larson Green just get moved to heading up Office?
She did.
We don't really need to worry that much about that because we don't presentations.
That does mean she will be on stage more, probably.
Probably, but not during presentations that I care about. Right? I don't need to see an Office presentation. Sorry. Maybe that's why I'm not an MVP anymore. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. So a couple things in the industry going on before we dive into what's going on in our entertainment centers. The first I thought is really interesting. We've talked in the past about how different providers have apps on either the Xbox platform or on other streaming platforms like the Roku and such. And Time Warner Cable is one of the companies that's had an app out there for a good long time. Time Warner Cable this week is rumored to be piloting a streaming TV offering to its internet customers without having a subscription to TV services, and you can use it through your Roku, and they give you a Roku to get access to it.
That's kind of cool.
It's awesome. If you think about this, they're basically saying, and I don't mean to put words in their mouth, but they're basically saying, you know, why are we continuing to maintain these set-top boxes? Why don't we just give this inexpensive device to our customers and let them get TV the way that they want to? And their app is great. Their app is a really good way of getting live TV from many of their channels. Now, I don't know how they're going to price this out exactly. Right now, presumably, they're testing it in the New York City market. So that's also really cool because that potentially opens up opportunities to people who otherwise didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to get this kind of content without an expensive TV package. That's one of the reasons why things like Aereo were so popular when they first came out. So I'm really interested in seeing how this does. And this is a story I want to follow as it unfolds.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot this weekend about like what does my house look like without Media Center? And what I want it to look like is some sort of really great TV app on the Xbox One. And that doesn't really exist right now. The only thing that's...
Well, not for you, for sure.
Right. But I think the only thing that's really close, kind of, is the AT&T UVerse app. And that isn't anywhere near as useful as what the UVerse app was on the 360. So I don't know. I think we might still be a little ways off, but maybe not that far off.
And so far, none of the providers are offering a combination of both linear programming and streaming television from the same app on these platforms. So that's something that we still need to see if they're going to come up with anything even close to what you can get from their TV services. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention real quickly, because I'm probably going to buy one, is that the new Harmony Elite Remote is now available. This is something that we talked about on Home On, and it's the latest generation, a little bit unexpectedly, from Logitech for the Harmony line. And it does everything that the Harmony Ultimate Home or Harmony Home Ultimate or whatever they ended up naming that prior version of the remote was doing. But it includes the touchscreen on it. It includes all new firmware and a new UI, and it includes buttons to control hard buttons to control lights and things like that in your media environment. So a really cool addition to their lineup. This basically replaces the Harmony Home line that they had, and you can get it now for $350, or if you buy it at Best Buy, they're giving up to $100 rebate if you trade in an old Harmony remote. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
So $350 is, to me, that's a crazy amount of money for a remote.
It is, but it is the standard price for the Harmony high-end remotes when they first come out.
But the Harmony Home stuff that's out there now, if I wanted a Harmony that can control my TV stuff and control some of my home automation stuff, how much would that cost me right now?
They're probably bringing the price of that down while it's still available, but it's not going to be available for very long. And this is what happened when they came out with the Harmony Home line, the Harmony Ultimate, which was previously still available and would provide the same capabilities to most people, suddenly became more expensive because it was in more demand. So I suspect that you could probably buy the Harmony Home for a while, but it's not going to be around for all that long.
Hmm. Well, that stinks. I'm not buying a $350 remote.
Yeah. If you think this is expensive, tune in to the upcoming episode of Home On, where I talk about a new remote from Savant that I am in love with.
Yeah, well, it's Savant. And anybody who's following the home automation space knows that Savant equals dollars. Lots and lots of dollars.
Surprisingly, not that many more than this. But yes, it is more expensive.
Still a lot more than this.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to what's going on in our entertainment centers.
A lot has been going on in my entertainment center. So first off, I upgraded my Hulu. And I don't know that we ever talked about this, but Hulu came out with an option that allows you to opt for fewer, not no, but fewer commercials than they would normally show. So now, instead of getting commercial breaks throughout a show, you might get an initial commercial up front and maybe a commercial on the trailing end. Some shows have none at all. And for this, you pay an additional $4 a month. So instead of $8 a month, it's $12 a month. To me, that's worth it because I'm tired of answering the question, why are there commercials? I thought this was on the internet.
Because it's on the internet, that's why there are commercials.
I'm still working on that. So anyway, I think this is an interesting offering, and I'm going to give it a try for a while and see if it makes people happier. And I think it'll make me happier.
Yeah, it seems like a nice service.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the other thing that is happening this week is that the new Apple TV is coming out, and folks know that I'm kind of steeped in the iTunes ecosystem. So I'm very interested in this, and I have pre-ordered a new Apple TV. So I'm looking forward to getting that and seeing how that doesn't work with my new Harmony remote, since it has voice control that my remote won't support.
Well, that stinks. Go Apple.
Yeah, but it's still going to be kind of cool, I think.
Sure.
All right. Other stuff that I've been doing, you know, when I sit down and I watch a movie, I generally end up calling up the Insteon app and turning down the lights in the room so that I can watch a movie or do whatever. And for whatever reason, I tend to do that still on my phone than trying to program it into my remote or whatever. There's a new app that I can use for doing that.
There is?
Yeah. You may have heard of it. It's called Homeboy.
Oh, yeah, that app. I know a lot about that app. I know a whole lot about that app.
So I know we've teased this on this show and we've talked about it on Home On, but I don't think that we've ever actually discussed it on this show. So this is my not so subtle way of suggesting that if you're a Windows phone or an Android phone user, you may be interested in controlling the Insteon lighting in your home with Homeboy, which is an app that we built. So give it a try and let us know what you think. It's working well for me.
And you heard that right. It's available on Windows Phone also. We care about Windows Phone users. I use this app every single day. I should. I built it. So yeah, check out homeboycontrol.com. We would love to have more people checking this out. It's free. And let us know what you think and how it works for you and what you'd like to see improved or different or new features. And yeah, we hope you're going to like it as much as we do.
So good point here. Anthony in the chat is mentioning that he remembers us talking about this at the Home Server Show meetup two meetups ago. This is actually an entirely different app. This is a new way of handling things. This is new technology, and we're specifically targeting Windows Phone and Android right now, with hopes of getting out to iOS as well very soon. But you know, stuff has been happening in this space so fast. And Insteon kind of changed how they're handling the way that people interface with their system. They want people to use the cloud. So that's what we're doing. We're using their cloud to be able to get to the newer hubs that they sell. Check it out. We have a post that we'll link to in the show notes on our site on the DMZ. And we'll also link you out to the press release about the product. All right. Now, I have been watching TV and I've been watching some movies. I've been pretty busy. So the usual stuff, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I've really been enjoying this season. Limitless, I can't get enough of. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait for each new episode. There's a new one tonight that I'll be watching after we're finished recording. The Amazing Race, which is pretty good this season, except for one annoying couple that, geez, I wish they'd get rid of. And the new season of Sleepy Hollow started, which is something that we watch. And I really, really like this show. It's something that every year everyone wonders, is it going to get renewed or not? But it's a good story. It's great characters. I love how they create this mythology woven into the history that we know of in our country's founding fathers. So if that's something that sounds intriguing to you, I'd suggest giving it a try. I also watched Jurassic World, which arrived on time.
Amazing.
Unlike Marvel's
Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yes. So I liked it. It's a really good movie. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
So if you're a Jurassic Park fan, there's lots of fan service in here. Tons of fan service. The thing that really just kind of pisses me off is that four movies later, I guess technically three movies later, there are still some lessons that nobody's learned. One, don't make dinosaurs. And two, don't employ evil, opportunistic jerks.
Words to live by.
Yeah, right. I don't understand why the people behind this company that does all this risky stuff hasn't figured that out yet.
Because dinosaurs equal dollars? Right? Theoretically?
I don't know. All right. So also, I went out to the movies this weekend.
Whoa.
Right. There should be some dramatic music there because
that never happens.
I haven't done that, I think, in like 2 years.
I think the last, I'm going to guess that the last movie you saw in the theaters was the last James Bond movie.
Wow. It very likely was Skyfall. Yes.
Which you saw in the theaters twice.
Three times.
Jeez.
I really liked it. So I saw The Martian and I agree with you. I think it was a great movie. I think they did a good job with it. I think they cut things that they could live without.
Mm-hmm.
The changes that they made in the story and even, frankly, in the way things wrap up, I think made sense. I have to wonder if I would have liked it as much if I hadn't read the book. Like, if I didn't know the story, I couldn't tell whether I would have enjoyed it as much, whether I would have followed it and liked it as much.
Hmm. I don't know. I had a couple of coworkers who went and saw it and they had never read the book and they did really like it, but I guess there's no way to know if they would have liked it more having read it. But I think at least one of them is going to try to go back and read it because he's sciencey and the sciencey details get kind of left out in the movie because they wouldn't make a good movie, but they make a really interesting book.
They do. And I think they cover the science in enough detail to make it relevant without getting mired in it.
Right.
So I thought they did a good job of that. I also have to say that this is a story that I totally knew. I read in air quotes because it was audible, but I read this just 2 months ago. So it was very fresh in my mind. I clearly know how it ends. And yet, I was kind of nervous and not literally on the edge of my seat, but anticipating the next thing throughout and stressed in the right places. So I think they did a very good job of making it engaging.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, I think it's my time to give a podcast pick.
Indeed it is.
And I'm going to recommend something kind of unusual. I'm going to recommend something that has already pod faded.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if any of you follow or listen to shows published by Merlin Mann, Merlin Mann, something of an internet celebrity. He is a voice that many people have come to know in the tech community. Very big in the, probably more with Apple users, but also just kind of a tech pundit and somewhat of a life pundit. And he started off as a technologist and moved more into like a, I don't know, something of a comic reflecting on stuff that goes on in life. And one project that he did along the way was a podcast called You Look Nice Today. And this is a show that is, I say, S-NSFW. So, I mean, seriously, not safe for work. This is not something that you want to listen to while you're at work. I would suggest not even in your headphones. This is something you should listen to at home when your kids aren't listening. This is so blue. This is so rude. But it is hysterically funny in every episode. And the episodes are kind of timeless because it's just a reflection with him and two other people who are also very, very funny. And they just go off on these tangents. The whole story is basically a tangent based around a particular theme. So if that sounds interesting to you, I terribly miss this show. They've come out with episodes like every 5 or 6 months in the last year or two, just to kind of tease the audience. But for all intents and purposes, this is a show that is gone, but it was amazing while it was out. And you can get to most of them if you just look for it in iTunes or go to the site You Look Nice Today.
Cool. Very cool. All right. So mine is my, what's going on with me is going to sound awfully familiar. Watching Heroes.
Oh, okay. So how's it going? Up or down this week?
Not up. I mean, it probably should have been up. But if I was not a Heroes fan prior to this, I would have given up by now.
Oh.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I really hope it does not get another season. I want it to be done now.
Wow.
Like, I'm going to finish out the season because I am a Heroes fan and I would like to see where they take it and how they wrap it up. But it's just not that great. It's just not. And it pains me to say it, but it's true. So let's just put this thing out of its misery and be done. Still watching Quantico, still really liking that show. You know, the funny thing is, the funny thing with Quantico is we always watch the, you know, scenes coming up on Quantico at the end of the show. And they'll show scenes from the next episode, but they also show like, here's some stuff that's going to happen in the future of this series or of this season. And those previews are almost always tons of sex, tons of it, tons. You know how much there's actually been in the show? Like none. Like,
well, not like none, because isn't that one of the opening sequence things?
Yes, it was like the third scene or whatever in the first episode. But since then, there's been none. But in these previews, they've got like 8 scenes of different people doing things left and right. And it's like, is there just going to be one episode that's all sex? I'm not really sure. But other than that, it's been a really good show.
I think it's just cheesy marketing.
Well, it definitely is. I mean, that's what ABC does. But it's been a really good show. The Walking Dead.
Brought to you by the Disney Company.
Right. The Walking Dead. I'm current on that. Holy crap, this week. I won't say anything else. I thought I was pretty nice on Twitter. Sola Sweet in the chat thinks that I spoiled it for him. I hope I didn't spoil it for anybody else. Pretty crazy episode this week. If you're kind of like me and you've been kind of lukewarm on The Walking Dead over the last couple of seasons, and so maybe you haven't been watching them right away, you need to catch up because it was a pretty big episode this week.
That's particularly interesting considering what you said in your tweet. So now I'm really eager to catch up for, what, I guess I'm 5 seasons behind.
Well, for you, you've given up on this show. Like, don't, you shouldn't try and catch up.
I haven't given up. I will at some point manage to trudge through. Yes. In 10 years, like I'm watching Boston Legal, right. In 10 years, I will trudge through the episodes in season 2. Then maybe I'll finally catch up.
All right. On the gaming side, I've played a lot of two games this weekend. On my Xbox One, I was playing Valiant Hearts. It's one of the free games this month on Xbox One. It's a really good game. You should definitely get it for free. It's really good. It's a 2D kind of puzzle platformer sort of game with nice cartoonish graphics. It's good. Everyone should check this out because it's free. It's got a really interesting storyline, pretty interesting gameplay mechanics, and the puzzles aren't too hard. Like, if you hate puzzle games, I'm not a puzzle game kind of guy. The puzzles aren't very hard. So definitely, definitely worth checking out Valiant Hearts. And then the other one that I'm still playing through is Ori and the Blind Forest. I'm playing it on PC, but it's also available on Xbox One. This game is so, so hard. It is so hard. And I'm not a fan of really difficult games, but this one is so good. It is really, really good. It's also a 2D platformer game. The graphics are gorgeous. The music is mesmerizing and beautiful. The gameplay is really neat. It's just, it's really challenging, and but it's worth it. It's really, really worth it. Definitely would recommend checking out Ori and the Blind Forest. Maybe this isn't the best time of year to be recommending older games since, like I said, Halo 5 launched this week, Call of Duty's next week. You know, this is the time of the year when all of the big games are coming out. So maybe this isn't the best time to get it, and maybe it'll go on sale soon on one of those two platforms and you could get it for cheaper, but it's definitely a game worth checking out. And even if you can't get it on sale, I think it's $20 tops, and it's worth it. It is totally worth it. I'm only halfway through and I've put 4 or 5 hours into it at this point. So yeah, it's just great. That's what I've been watching and playing. Now we're going to hand it off to Marcus to give us this week's Music Minute.
Hey everyone, this is Marcus with your Music Minute. I actually wanted to do something a little different this time around because as a big proponent and big fan of jazz music, one of the big questions I get from people is, hey, I'm new to this genre, I'm new to this style, who should I be listening to, what albums should I be trying out? So what I'm going to do is give you 5 albums I think are great for the jazz beginner. These are by no means a definitive collection. This is just a chance for you to get a starting off point that could take you to pretty much anywhere and any style that you like. So use these as sort of like your jumping off point. So here's the 5 albums I recommend. 1 is Blue Train by John Coltrane. 2 is Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. 3 is Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock. 4 is City Movement by the Wynton Marsalis Septet. And 5th is I Remember from Diane Reeves. Those are the 5 albums I think are really, really good from top to bottom. They are a great starting point if you want to go from there to any other styles such as big band, Latin jazz, swing, what have you. And so I would be interested also to see if you guys do listen to those albums, where does it take you? What do you think? So feel free to find me if you have any comments or questions about that. And that's really my Music Minute for this week. I will catch you guys next time.
All right. Thank you, Marcus, for those picks. I really like that music pick this week. You know, he didn't just pick a new album. I like the intro to jazz. That's cool. Jazz is a genre of music that I don't think a lot of people, and it's obviously not one of the most popular genres out there, but a lot of really great jazz music out there. So some great picks from Marcus this week, and I'm curious to see where he's going to take us next week.
Little known fact, I played saxophone in the jazz band in high school.
Seriously?
Seriously.
When's the last time you played your saxophone?
Probably over 30 years ago.
Do you still own one?
No, I don't.
Well, that's sad. All right, well, before we get out of here, we've got a couple of announcements.
Yeah, so just a reminder, I know I mentioned this a while ago, but I am going to be in Seattle next week, and I'm going to be moderating a couple panels at the Smart Kitchen Summit, and that is on November 5th. If that's something that you're interested in, that's actually going to be streamed live online. So we'll get a link in the show notes where you can see that stuff if you're interested in following along on what's going on at the Smart Kitchen Summit.
And because you're going to be at the Smart Kitchen Summit, you're not going to be here next week.
That is true.
But that's okay. It's we can go without Richard every once in a while, as long as we fill that empty space with a really great guest. And we are. Next week, Rob H. from the AV Rant podcast comes back, and he will be talking HDR and UHD TVs and talking about what's really the most important thing about these awesome new TVs coming out. Is it the resolution or is it the other features?
Wait. I've heard all this before, Josh. Is this really happening this time?
It's really, really actually happening this time, you jerk. hopefully. But there's already been one scheduling snafu, because when I scheduled it with him, I scheduled it for next Tuesday, and then I looked at my calendar and realized, nope, can't do it next Tuesday. So if you like to listen to the live show, we will be on Wednesday night next week. So come listen to us 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, November 4th with Rob H. from the AV Rant podcast. It's going to be a great episode, I guarantee you.
Cool.
All right. That's it for this extended episode. If you want to get a hold of us, there's a bunch of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard's at Richard Gunther. I'm Josh Pollard. The website's DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. We're on Google+. You can shoot us a message via email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. There's also some other podcasts here at the DMZ that you should be checking out. There's The End User, covering the latest tech news from the end user perspective. And of course, Richard's other show, his other passion, home automation, has led him to the Home On podcast. What's going on with Home On?
So I talked about this, I believe, the last time that I was in the show, and that is that while I was at Cedia, I had a bunch of floor interviews. So the new episode features Jason Griffin from the Home Tech FM podcast, and we talk about stuff going on at the show, and then have interviews from a bunch of really great vendors, including the folks at Fabaro and the folks at Simple Control, which you may recognize as Roomy Remote.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Looking forward to hearing that. Cool. All right. Well, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes and Pocket Cast and Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio. And you know what? Most of those places, you can go and leave a rating or a review. And if you would, we'd really, really appreciate it, because it helps us out a ton. And then come back, join us for the live show. Again, next week, it's Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. But normally, it's Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Your best bet, just follow us on Twitter. We always tweet about when the show will be live. And it's always a blast having you guys in the chat room while we record this. That's going to do it for episode 347. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 348. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.